B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They traded for Paul George tonight, and they are sending to Oklahoma City essentially a record collection of draft picks, four first-round picks, four unprotected future first-round picks, a protected future first-round pick, two pick swaps, and outstanding rookie point guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari for Paul George. Paul George came to the Thunder in the last couple of days and asked to be traded to the Clippers. He wanted to play with Kawhi Leonard. And to get this deal done, to stave off the Lakers, stave off the Toronto Raptors, the Los Angeles Clippers, Steve Ballmer, Lawrence Frank, their president, made a decision to make, you know, really a historic commitment to deliver two All-Stars to their team. And now in Staples Center, it's Paul George and Kawhi Leonard against Anthony Davis, LeBron James.
Meanwhile, that bomb drops over the weekend. Final hour, Felger Maz here on a reentry Monday. NBA free agency, Red Sox at the All-Star break, and the soccer are on the table. In terms of this, so now there's a whole other team that's a destination ahead of you. The freaking Clippers. The freaking LA Clippers. When we were kids, the San Diego Clippers. Remember that outfit?
Of course.
The Clippers are now more of a destination than the Boston Celtics. So that sort of brings it home, too. The Brooklyn Nets. These guys would rather go to the Brooklyn Nets or the LA Clippers. Second banana teams. You know, the second team in a two-team town than the Boston Celtics. Why? Why, Murray? Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think with Brooklyn and Kyrie, it's because he's such a weirdo and wanted to go back there, and that's the team that he rooted for. And apparently, he's the one in charge when it comes to the duo of him, Kevin Durant. It seems like Durant is just the small little puppy dog, even though he's the bigger dude. So he's following Kyrie's lead. So it's that, and it's the New York factor a little bit. And with the Clippers, it's just the LA thing more than anything else. Kawhi's from that area, as is Paul George, so that's a factor.
Can I answer on both?
Well, yeah.
They're cooler.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
Branding, nightlife, the whole thing.
They're cooler. It's
more hip.
Jay-Z, Rock Nation, like that's cool for these guys. And L.A. is L.A., and, you know, Kawhi Leonard, he gets hosted by Doc Rivers at his home in Malibu. Former NBA All-Star at his home in Malibu. That's cool. Here you get picked up by Golly G. Willikers in the Subaru.
Right. And getting yelled at by a stadium Logan.
I don't even know where to go. Keep moving, Mac. You can't stand. You got to keep moving.
Yeah, you can't park here.
So it's like you're not cool, which is so aggravating. You're a better organization, better run with better management, and better ownership, and top to bottom, soup to nuts, a legit operation, but you're not cool. And the Brooklyn Nets and Rock Nation and Jay-Z and that nonsense is cool.
So while you were rattling all that off, did you mention Miami too?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's also cooler. Jimmy Butler went to Miami. Russell Westbrook may end up going to Miami. Like, it's what they want. It's what they want. It's hip. Way more hip.
So what's frustrating is that somehow Philly, when it comes to Al Horford, became a better spot than you too. I mean, so that's sort of like one big takeaway is how many different players were up for grabs and situations? You could have had all these. I mean, move some guys, move some things around. I mean, if Durant wanted to come here and Kyrie wanted to stay, you'd have Kyrie and Durant. You would have made that happen. Danny would he'd give anything for that. And he'd take Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, too. He'd move heaven and earth to get those two guys. They don't want to come here. They'd rather go to these other places. And that's sort of a takeaway from this last week as well. Tough. You know, it's sort of a tough thing to swallow. If you're a Celtics fan or the fan of, 25 other teams across the league, what makes you a destination and what doesn't? Are you cool? Well, I don't know. Like, what is it?
It's got to be kind of humbling or sobering, I think, for most Celtics fans, because this now hits you over the head. Like, the history, the banners, they don't matter.
At all.
They don't matter.
The freaking Clippers. Give me the Clippers.
Overnight, they become, like, awesome. Right? Like, again, and this is another one. Like, you know, even Doc Rivers left the Celtics, for crying out loud. The coach even left. I mean, that was ultimately him that drove that. Now, look, they were going through a rebuild, but you know what the reality is? Doc knew they weren't going to be able to do it here. So what did he say? I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to go there because it'd be easier to recruit players there, for crying out loud. And so now you got a coach that players want to play for in a place they want to play. The Clippers are a factor.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. It sucks, but it's the reality of it.
More NBA coverage and just coverage in general. The Felger Maz off-air show tonight, myself and Jones. The Dark Knight, very conversant on basketball, so he'll have more on his thoughts from this free agency weekend, and we'll go off the grid with all sorts of off-the-air topics. Jones swears like a dirty, drunken sailor on that thing. The Felger and Maz off-air show presented by Ace Ticket, myself and Adam Jones, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. sharp on Facebook Live. So join us for that. While Maz is going on the air here with the baseball reporters, we're online on Facebook Live. Join us for that. In the meantime, back to your phones as promised here on a reentry Monday. Chris in North Attleboro on the catching situation with the Red Sox. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. So, you know, I just wanted to put my two cents on the whole Christian Vasquez situation. Looking at it from overall perspective, the Red Sox are obviously prioritizing their offense primarily this year. I think for the most part because of the fact that, you know, those bottom three hitters in the lineup when Vasquez is not in the game, when you have Nunez, Bradley Jr., and Leon, you know, it's basically three automatic outs there. I know Bradley's been getting hot as of late, but, you know, I think that that's kind of the reason why you can't have Leon in the lineup more than once per week. Because, like I said, those are three automatic outs towards the bottom of the order.
Okay, they're so automatic, Chris. They're number one in the league in runs.
Right, because Vaz has been catching most of the games. I mean, he's one of their middle lineup hitters right now. You know, he's been hitting the ball so well, you can't really take him out. So I think that, with that being said, I think Leon should catch Sale and Sale only, and that Vasquez should be in the game for the rest of the pitchers because he's one that's going to provide such a catalyst to that offense.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. But my point is, if you were second in runs, but were you could shave a run off your team ERA, aren't you much better off?
They're 0-9 with Porcello and Sale combined are 0-9 with Vasquez behind the plate.
So I mean, what are we talking 9. About? Like, come on.
So you tell me what's worth more?
And is Vasquez the reason they're number one in the league in runs?
No,
I mean he's
no,
been good. He's a piece to it, but if his production was out, if you swapped out his production for Leon's production, would they be second in the league in runs or still first? I wouldn't be surprised if they were still first.
I mean, I'd take the pitching. I would. You're not going to win without Sale. You're not winning without Sale. 0-5. 0-5. Chris Sale with Vasquez behind the plate. Winless.
How come our women's soccer players curb stomp the earth and our men can't get out of their own way? How come the men suck? George in the car, your thoughts.
Hey, so I agree with a big part Taylor said earlier. Messi and Ronaldo were 16 years old playing in some of the biggest tournaments in the world. And you have players here playing JV soccer. There's a kid in France right now. He's one of the best players in the world. Mbappe, he just won the World Cup last year. He's 20, and he's already the best. He's already one of the best players in the world because he's been playing pro since he was 16.
So what I'm curious about, George, I get it. So the Pulisic kid who went to Germany and trained over there, and is now the best American player, and trending to be the best American player ever. Legit. He's in Chelsea, right? And in the Premier League. Legit international star soccer player. Went over as a teenager.
His family moved there.
Oh, they actually moved there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's now worth $90 million. So why aren't more guys doing that? Because usually where the money is, you'll follow.
Well, Taylor Twellman said they are. Right? He said more kids are doing it now.
If we just can't figure out how to train him in this country, fine. Go to Europe and train there. What's wrong with that?
So nothing. Maybe that's where, and that, you know, so look, maybe it is coming and we just don't know it yet. That the next one's in what, 2022?
Right? Sounds right.
Okay. So, you know, he said that the one in 26 is a big one.
It's here, right?
Yes. And so, you, in theory, you'll have players who have already gone over and trained overseas, and that you might even see them in, you know, 3 years.
There's also just attitude. That women's team is, and again, I'm not making a remark, they're just ballsy. I mean, they're just...
No, there's a real swagger there.
Cocky and
they back it up.
And tough, and they did. They put a lot of pressure on themselves with the way they carried on, which I didn't love. I didn't love all the goal celebrating and that 13-0 thing against Thailand. I thought was Bush League. I didn't like it.
And the way that Netherlands goalie was played in that first half, it felt for a minute there, I was like, oh God, they might blow this. Like
well,
it.
But all I'm saying is when you carry on like that and Rapinoe with her, you know, her mouth, which I love too, but I'm just telling you when you say, I'm not going to the effing White House. Like you've already won the thing. She said that weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
She said before the even tournament began. Like, that's sort of saying, yeah, we're winning this thing, and I'm not going to the effing White House. Well, if you make a comment like that and then lose, you look like a chump, like a loser. And again, when she runs her mouth the way that she does and they carry on like the way that they did scoring 13 goals and you're lining up for a PK, which you should score 10 out of 10 times. Well, if you get saved once, then again, boy, do you look like a loser running your mouth like that and you can't even convert a penalty kick. And she made all of them. Like, I think they put pressure on themselves and they came through with it. And they have this whole way that them carry themselves, and the men go into Trinidad. How many people, you looked up, what's the population of the U.S.? You said 400
million? 330
million. 330 million. What's the population of Trinidad and Tobago?
I'll look at, well,
hold on. I need to know. Trinidad and Tobago.
I'm going to say like 1.5 million.
Are those separate islands that they just combined into two because the one country's just not big enough? Trinidad and Tobago. Stand by.
It's not Tobago.
It might be Tobago.
You say Tobago, I say Tobago.
You say Tobago, I say Tobago.
Guess couple what the, of million.
Guess what the population is.
1.5 million.
Two.
Oh, this is so annoying.
300,000.
I can't find it. Just
do-to-do.
Keep going.
Why don't you just search population of Trinidad?
Oh, I could have done that.
What did you do? Did you go to like a map?
I'm fumbling around Wikipedia here.
Do-to-do.
1.369 million.
Thank you.
What is it?
1.4.
Yeah, 1.4.
1.4.
I said 1.5. Well, yep. How good a guess was that?
Excellent. You're smart. 1.5 million, and you have 330 million, and yet people call up and say, well, all of our good athletes go and play football. You don't understand what... You could put our 10th string out there, and we should be wiping the floor with the Tobagoans. Tobagans. We should be absolutely emasculating them.
Toboggans.
And we lost to them. So you explain, it's not numbers. It's not that we don't have the athletes. There's something. Our men are a bunch of pusses. I am sorry. They play like ninnies. So there's something, too. Can we get the women's coaching or the women's training over on the men's side so we can get them to play like the women? Because they play with more whatever than we do. And that is frustrating. More of your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
That's it. U.S. wins their fourth World Cup.
The eyes, the pressure that was on this team coming into the World Cup, the way they handled that, the way they have lifted a nation, the way they have lifted a gender has been something to behold. Yes, it's football, but they've done so much more against all odds in the most challenging World Cup we've ever seen.
Settle down, shall we? Keeping our pants, so to speak, on the lifting a nation and a gender. The gender that needs lifting are the men. That's something that if the men do anything in the World Cup, can we say that they lifted a gender? Because those are the ones that need it. The women are already there, established as the best team in the world. They have been, and they still are. They didn't lift anything. They're there. The men, they could use a good lift. Lifting a gender and nation. Please give me a break. Against all odds. What do you mean against all odds? You're the odds-on favorite. Stop with this.
They were a landslide favorite coming in.
Okay, the pressure, though, is real there when you're that kind of favorite.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it was a no-win tournament for them.
Right.
Right, no-win situation. They either win the whole thing or they fail miserably. And they close the deal.
But this Rapinoe, man, walks it, talks it, the whole thing. And I'm the person, go to the White House. I'm a go to the White House guy and don't politicize it. So I'm not into people skipping the White House. But that, you know, my God, we started with Tim Thomas and some of those Red Sox players a decade ago. And now this thing's gotten ridiculous. So I just, whatever. I don't even care to engage on the topic anymore because it's so rampant. It's become so stupid. But anyway. At least Rapinoe doesn't dance around it. Like Tom Brady, Tommy will miss the White House, skip it, but not tell you. had a family thing. I had this thing. I had that thing.
Had to go to the Apple store.
Right, exactly. But meanwhile, you know, it's political or it's, you know, there's something, there's a reason there. His wife doesn't want, but he just won't come clean about why he's there or not there. So you're just sort of wondering or guessing or.
Because it hurts the brand ultimately.
Exactly. Right. As Michael Jordan said, Republicans buy shoes too.
In this case, you don't want to alienate the liberals.
So you don't want to eliminate either side of the aisle. So you just, you don't say a word. Rapinoe ain't afraid though. So this is like double-edged. So she just puts it right on the table. This was before the tournament even began. She was asked this. If we could, Jimmy. I'm sorry, Megan Rapinoe during that photo shoot.
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. Okay. We're not going to be invited.
You're not going to be invited?
I doubt it.
Well, once you say you're not going to the effing White House, something tells me the big guys say, well, you're not invited.
I have my tweets ready to go.
I'm not going to the White House. No, I'm not going to the White House. That's, okay. We're not going to be invited.
You're not going to be invited?
I doubt it.
So I'm not going to the effing White House. So when you, but when you.
I love what she stands for. I do. I think she's awesome. Go ahead.
Well, she just got a yapper, which is great. But it's great when you live up to it. But if you fail, so if you make that claim. So there's two things. So you're pissing off half the people in the country. But the other part is you're acting like you've won. Before you've even played a game.
Right. I think that was before the knockout stage started.
Okay, so that was at some point, that was some point in before or the middle of the tournament. She says, I ain't going to the effing White House like you've already won the thing. So now when you're lining up in front of 60,000 people on the dot there for the penalty kick, you better make it.
Absolutely.
Or else you look like a loser.
No, absolutely. I mean, the focus they put on themselves in this thing. And like, I don't know, maybe this is their way of like motivating themselves. Because they, you know, they were so heavily favored that they needed something to challenge them. So they created this whole thing that they had to live up to. But, man, they did. They were fun to watch. They were. Okay. She was, you know, again, what did Trump say? Win something first in one of his tweets?
I think that's a fair comment. And so they did. Right? So they had to. They had to. Why do the women curb stomp the earth and our men suck? Mike in the car, why?
So, it has to do, first off, Taylor made a lot of good points, and it has to do kind of with the Federation themselves. One of the things they do is they don't reinvest a lot of the money that they get back into youth soccer. So when Christian Pulisic got transferred to Chelsea, there's $90 million. A percentage of that is to go back to the club that he's developed. Mm. The U.S. Soccer Federation held on to it. There's a great article about that. Second comes off that the women, you're right, the rest of the country, the rest of the world hasn't caught up. Now it's starting to happen. All the top-tier teams in, like, England, Portugal, Spain, Italy, to be part of their premiership, to be part of their top team, you have to have a women's team. That's the new thing that's going to come out. So 4 years, 8 years down the line, U.S. women are going to have some good competition come up with them.
All right, let's see. That's interesting. Let's see. When it comes to women's soccer, we started with everybody else or ahead of everybody else? And the men, it's just the opposite.
So this is my question as it pertains to the men, then. Why is it that
the world
women
is kept,
right. Why can the rest of the world catch up to our women, but we can't catch up to the men?
Right. And they're doing it within a single generation, which is what we're looking at with the men. They went 30 years between, you know, they didn't qualify, I guess, in 86 and then qualified every year until last year. So like you reverted, you spent a full generation and got worse somehow or got no better. Where the rest of the world in this generation is catching up with the women. How come the men can't do the same
thing? I don't know. And look, and again, it's not a talent pool issue. In fact, it should be inverted. In other words, a lot of these countries that are catching up to the United States are smaller. They have a smaller talent pool to draw from. We have 330 million people in this country. Right? Again, if we look at some of the Argentina has 45 million. So the men's side, it should be the opposite. We should be able to get there faster.
Exactly. Luke in Vermont, how'd you enjoy NBA free agency, Luke?
Awesome, because there's more parity in the NBA. Just as a fan of the NBA, not having that super team is great. But you guys saying that it can't happen in Boston is just false. If you look at the recent super teams in the last 10 years, most recent, Golden State, even Cleveland, even though they lost where LeBron was, then back to Miami, and then back to Boston in the last 10 years. You are right. There's no factor that it's not management, it's not location, it's no one thing. There's five, maybe even three great players in the league, and you got to get one of them. It can be based on anything, location, coach, another player. Boston's no more in it or out of it than anybody else. And I agree. It's not the banners anymore. The history of the Celtics doesn't play a huge role.
Hold on, Luke. Hold on, Luke. You're saying they're no more in it or out of it than any other team. You don't think the Lakers have inherent advantages drawing players there versus here?
Look at it. In the last 10 years, Mike, the last 10 years, the Celtics built a super team. The Lakers have not. And LeBron struck out on everybody.
Luke.
The Lakers have lost more than anyone else in the NBA in the last 6 years, Mike.
Luke, the super team you're talking about was Garnett?
Yeah, Pierce and Allen. Yeah, at that time, those were trades.
Those were trades.
But it can happen anywhere. Garnett had to choose you, Mike. If he said, I'm not going to re-sign with you, Danny's not trading all those factors. Garnett had to choose you. Garnett had to. But either way, it can still happen anywhere. It's harder to do it by trades. It can happen overnight if players put it together. But it can happen anywhere. It happened in Cleveland.
Garnett wanted L.A., Luke, and it didn't happen. He had nowhere else to go.
Garnett chose you with the extension-ish, but you had a mighty bit of leverage against him. He had no trade protection, and so you could have forced him here, and Danny worked on him and leaned on him and got him ultimately to say yes, but that took some time. So he kind of sort of chose you, but not really. It was a trade with special circumstances. Don't say you're any more or less than the Lakers. That's just patently false.
He wanted L.A., so this is the other thing, is like with regard to banners and market size. The other thing is the weather. I think it's a factor. Now, look, in Brooklyn, I suppose you can't make that sell. But L.A. and Miami, how else do you explain Miami? Why does everyone want to go to Miami? What history do the Heat have?
Oh, please.
No, it's the women and the weather. Throw the weed in there, too.
Weed. Yes, weed,
three
women,
W's.
And weather.
Yep.
Wine, is that in there, too? Millis in Marshfield, how come our men suck and our women are so good?
You're going to get the answer finally, Mr. Felga. You know what the boy in Guadalajara is doing from the age of 8 to 14?
What are they doing?
He's playing soccer 8 hours a day, 300 days a year. He's not staring out the window of a middle school in Texas or Billerica. The problem is we don't play enough. They play three times as much. So 30 of the kids are doing it and going over to Europe. Thousands upon thousands of kids are doing it in Trinidad and in Mexico. So it's like apples and oranges. They're playing all the time. We, during those formative years, most critical age, 8 to 16.
So I get that. How do you explain the women? Are they playing more than the men?
Because the women weren't even allowed to play in half these countries until 20.
Ah, okay. That I buy. Thank you, Mills. That I buy, that our country is more advanced. And women's place in our country is more advanced. It's just about damn equal. It just about is. I'll give you just about. Where in some of these other countries, do they even care if women advance or women have a team or women excel or women, get to do this thing?
In that way, relatively speaking, we're far more progressive. Again, and this, a lot of it does go back to Title IX. You're talking about now, almost 60 years. If you go back to, it was Nixon in 65 that we got in the email, right? That Nixon signed the Title IX bill into effect.
Yeah, but didn't, so that must have been, there must have been like in the NFL with pass interference, there must have been a new emphasis put on it because Title IX
it took a lot longer than that.
Kicked in like 20 years ago.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. It by then it really sort of took hold. But the idea, in a lot of other places, women aren't. They're forbidden to do any of this stuff. It's frowned upon.
So this is a good story. This speaks to why America's America.
Sure.
That women are people, too. We grudgingly allow you folks to be people. I sort of went back and forth on the thing, but we'll give it to you. Here's Stephen in Martha's Vineyard. Same thought. Hi, Stephen.
You going to let him vote, too?
Stephen! Okay, babe. Not ready to go. You can call us back. You know the number. Good time to get an update here from Murray, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, we told you about the Kenny Rosenthal tweet with the Red Sox earlier today. They're in the market for starting pitching. Would like it sooner rather than later. And will cast a wide net. Well, there's been more reports, if you've been listening to Jim Murray on his update, that net may have found its first target in the Mets, Zach Wheeler. According to the New York Post, per the Post, Joel Sherman, the Red Sox and Mets are in the early stages of a Wheeler to Boston discussion. And with the Mets having an in-depth understanding of Boston's operation, that is because both Mets VP of assistant GM for scouting and player development, Alan Baird, and VP of player personnel, Jared Banner, held instrumental baseball operations roles with Boston.
Yeah, Baird is with the Red Sox for a long time, yeah.
So they have a couple of our nerds. So they know the Boston system. Zach Wheeler to the Red Sox for what? How do you feel about this player? What do you got, Mass?
So this would be, to me, akin to what they did last year with Eovaldi. I mean, this guy is a 500 pitcher for his career. He's had a good arm. He's always been a little bit of an underachiever. And, you know, throws hard, 96, 97 miles an hour. And so, you know, and he's not a lot of money. I think he's a free agent at the end of the year, and he's making like under $6 million. So it fits their payroll. You know, you wouldn't have to give up a ton because he's a rental and he's not an elite guy. And so he makes a lot of sense. And my guess is they look at it and say, you know, they've got some sort of data that shows he's going to come here and throw his cutter more and be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of those. I can guarantee you. They're not going to do anything big. I'd be shocked. Like you mentioned Bumgarner earlier. I would love Bumgarner. And they could afford Bumgarner. The Twins are in on him. The Yankees are in on him.
Cubs,
Braves maybe. Like all these teams have minor league talent. The Red Sox aren't going to outbid those teams. And they can't. They don't have the ammunition to.
Wheeler's another lefty.
He's right-handed.
No, he's a righty.
It says here, 6'4" lefty.
Where are you reading that? That's wrong.
No, he throws right-handed. Zach Wheeler's right-handed.
Okay, good. Because it says here, 6'4" lefty. Wheeler has posted a 6-6 record with 103 strikeouts and a 4.69 ERA through 19 starts this season.
So, no, he's a righty.
Typo. Okay, good. Yeah, because I think he's a little too left-handed there.
Yeah, no, he's right-handed. Yeah, he's right. And look, again, remember that last year, one of the real values in Eovaldi was that the Yankees and Houston lineups were heavily right-handed, and he dominated those teams. I mean, he really did. He dominated those teams. So if their logic is we're going to have to beat those teams to get there, we could use a right-handed power arm to get some of those guys out. Again, the logic is sound. I still think they need a reliever more.
Okay. Mix that in. Thoughts on this, the soccer and NBA free agency. Colin in the car has a thought on the Celtics. Hi, Colin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, yeah, I'm getting a little annoyed by all the focus on the Celtics free agency being about how Kemba replaces Kyrie Irving's energy in the locker room and, ooh, what are you going to do about the big men? Did anyone watch this team shoot last year? They can't shoot. They still haven't addressed that need. They lost their arguably three best shooters with Irving, Horford, and Mook. So they're going to even shoot even worse. I mean, what type of shooting drills are they going to have Marcus Smart go through next year where all of a sudden he can stop laying bricks in the middle of games and giving up 20-point leads? So it doesn't matter who they had until they had a shooter. They've had plenty of opportunities. They've let Reddick go. They let Brogdon go. They haven't addressed it at all. So they're putting a lot of focus on maybe Carson Edwards, their second-round pick, doing something. But otherwise, they're screwed. They can't shoot the ball.
Okay, you worried about their shooting mess?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, look, Walker's a downgrade from Kyrie. Now, at the same time, you look at Tatum and you say he should be a little better than he was last year. Brown, it feels like, is getting better every year. Smart did improve a little bit. And in theory, Hayward should be a lot better. But losing Horford's a big one.
He's the most consistent shooter.
Yeah, you had a big guy on the floor there, and he was, from that standpoint, a matchup problem. You had a big guy that could go out to the three-point line and make shots with consistency. Right now, Cantor will give him something different and give him some scoring around the rim, which will help create some space out there for the shooters. But I still think their biggest problem against the good teams like Milwaukee is going to be defending the paint. I still think that's going to be their biggest problem.
Okay, more NBA talk and other stuff on the Felger Maz off-air show tonight at 6 o'clock, Facebook Live, myself and Jones. Join us for that. It's presented by Ace Ticket, Felger Maz off-air show, Facebook Live, 6 p.m. More NBA and other stuff with Jones. Meanwhile, in the soccer, our women are just dominant. They absolutely dominate the world, and our men suck. Mike and Woburn, why?
Just 2 points, one on the women and one on the men. I'll start with the men's first. I know you talked about guys choosing the sports based on financial reasons. That's too late. One of the worst things about youth sports right now is specialization, and your kids are being forced to choose at age. My son was basically forced to choose which sports he wanted to play at age 10. At age 10, town sports, town travel soccer is demanding primary commitment. And kids are like, I could play soccer all year or hockey and baseball. Sorry, I'm taking hockey and baseball every time. You're losing all the athletes, Mike, before adolescence.
It's asinine, Mike. It is. It's asinine. And I'll tell you, Don, I'm sorry to cut you off. In some places, they're demanding a year-round commitment. Go ahead.
The tryout commitment for my son was that you were forced to commit for both fall and spring season. So forget it. I ask a 10-year-old, do you want to play hockey and baseball, or do you want to play soccer? You're wiping out your talent pool at age 10. The women, Mike, when my daughter went to Brazil to spend the summer there when she was 9 years old, we wanted to send her to a soccer camp. You want to send a girl to a soccer camp here? There's like 20 dozen places that will gladly take your money. We couldn't find one place that was for all girls all-girls soccer school in Brazil, in a major state capital in Brazil. She had to go with the boys, and she was the only one there. The environment for women's development is different. It just is.
Okay, and that's a good story for us.
Sure it is. Yeah, no, we're ahead on that one.
Shows y'all where we are as a country.
Yeah, we're ahead on that. We're progressive.
One of the places that make us great, right, is that the women and the opportunity that everyone is afforded, that we afford everybody. Not based on gender or race or anything like that. That's a strength of ours. And I like that part of it. I like that's one of the reasons we're the dominant force in women's soccer. It's because we care about women and give them the opportunities. And I don't mean to say like we give them, or they're granted, like we will give you this opportunity. You know,
it's the same opportunity.
It's just what it is.
There's a consistency there.
It's the way it is in this country.
Or close, anyway.
Versus other countries. I get it. I get that part to it. How come our women are so much tougher than our men? How do you explain that? Never mind Brazil. I'm talking about here in the States. How come our women are tougher when it comes to soccer? Jay and Shirley. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, thanks, guys. First off, Danva, Chris Evans, Megan Rapinoe is the real-life Captain America. Good for them. And a lot of guys kind of stole my thunder. So I guess the only thing I can really add is I think the biggest difference is the fact that, like, the men have balls but don't play with them. The women don't. But play with huge balls, and I think that's pretty much explained.
Yeah,
itself.
Something like that is crudely put, but something like that.
Listen, they're gutsy. They're relentless. They're competitive. All of that. You watch them play, and man, they are relentless. They are into it. They compete their asses off.
The whole game is cleaner like that. There's less rolling around on the ground.
It's great.
Flopping, and you know, there's some of it. I'm not saying it's totally clean, but it's cleaner than the men's product. That's for sure.
I mean, I've been thoroughly entertained by them. I have no issue with the women's product in soccer at all.
I still like the men better. I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I'm not saying that I like the women better. It is a below the rim kind of game. The power's not there. They set up for a free kick outside the box, and they're pretty much not going to boom it in, you know, with a big bender from whatever that is, 25 yards or whatever. Where the men, you know, you line up a guy out there.
That's a noticeable difference.
10 yards outside the box, and he's got a chance to drill it in the upper corner. The women aren't scoring out there.
You're like Messi in the last World Cup, was it, right? Remember that goal he scored?
I think he scored one on you in one of those, intermediate tournaments or whatever.
Well, maybe that's what it was. It was an absolute freaking missile.
The power
Holy
game.
Holy crap.
But the power in the men's game is mitigated by the fact that they're all rolling around on the ground pretending to be hurt when they're not. Oh, it's just brutal. And the replay sucks in all of it. It feels like the replay was a much bigger factor in the women's game than the men's game. I mean, I guess that was a PK yesterday. She got hit on the shoulder. I get it, but... Is that really what we're doing now?
Yeah, that seemed like a bit of a crock. Now, granted, I was happy for it at the time because it felt like the game was a little bit imbalanced because of how good that goalie was playing for the Netherlands. But yeah, what? The Netherlands player wasn't playing the ball and the foot hit the beautiful face kind of
Alex
Morgan. So.
Yeah, don't touch that face. Yeah, the fact that it had to come from video review, you know, the ref on the field didn't call
chancy.
It. You know, and it's like, so that's because that is, you're basically awarding a goal. So, like, that I hate. And still, things that frustrate me about the sport. But the women, I find myself getting less frustrated by than the men, that's for sure.
Second goal was a bullet.
We've got Brett in Rhode Island on the cells. Hi, Brett.
Hi, I just want to bring up a trade proposal that I heard yesterday. It was Gordon Hayward for Kevin Love. I believe this trade makes sense because Love is a big guy that could shoot threes. He could spread the floor out. And Gordon Hayward, we're going to have problems with him next year with Jaylen Brown and the minutes being shared. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, my thought is I'm giving Hayward another chance. I just am.
I'd rather have Hayward than Love.
Me
too. You're going to trade for a suckier, older version of Hayward who's made out of shredded wheat? Oh, I've heard this and like listening in and out in the last few days of the station. Who came up with this?
Well, he fits better for what he said about in terms of minutes, and you know he plays a different position, Kevin a different Love. Role. But no, I'm waiting to see Kevin Love. I'm waiting to see if Gordon Hayward can become Gordon Hayward again.
Totally. I don't want Kevin Love. I'm like, to me, not getting Kevin Love was one of the best moves Danny Ainge never made. That guy's a stiff, if you ask me. I'm done. I don't want that clown. No way.
He tried to get him, though.
Oh, he did. But again, seriously, whatever the circumstances were, that it didn't come together, you're way better. I'd rather Hayward. Hayward's a better player than Love.
Tom in the car, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just want to go on record. The soccer, their behavior, and I think there was a large contingent of Americans that were extremely turned off by that pompous, arrogant, obnoxious behavior against Thailand, 13-0, total unsportsmanship. And correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't that national team get paid by the American tax dollar? And that hasn't Repino, whatever her name is, hasn't she been on the team for the last 4 to 8 years?
So what, she's good.
Can't pretend to maybe have a little respect for the country and the American flag. Okay, she doesn't like Trump. She's not going to go to the White House. Fine. But show a little class when it comes to who's been paying your buck and supporting you while you kick around a stupid ball for a stupid game that's never going to excel in this country.
Oh, that's why I'm so happy that they won.
Me
that's
too.
Why I'm so happy she's this outspoken. It's that meatheads like that are so upset about it. Oh, I bet you were rooting for the Netherlands too, weren't you? Admit it. Who's the real anti-American? You were rooting against your own country, you meathead.
Did I detect a little, like a southern accent there or something with that guy?
It's just stupidity.
I meant to write down Howie's number. I forgot it. Jimmy, do you have it? We should have it on. You should put it right next to my number right here.
266-6868.
266-6868.
Let me guess. Middle-aged white American man. That's what I would guess. Maybe past middle age, white American man.
What's wrong with that guy?
Nothing. No, I'm just telling you.
I know, but you're looking at me when you're saying
now that you mention it.
Final word comes your way next.
Stay tuned for more Felt Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. Eat the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best
Nobody.
Prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Nobody. Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
All right, let's get to a few pieces of sound here today. We'll also have a throwback, Mad Mike here.
Love
to
it.
Get to from years ago. But we had some Googling issues. Weren't mine earlier when we were trying to figure out the population of both Trinidad and Tobago.
So
Tobago?
What's the population of the U.S.? You said 400 million?
330 million.
330 million. What's the population of Trinidad and Tobago?
I'll look at. Well,
hold on, hold on. I need to know. Trinidad and Tobago.
I'm going to say like 1.5 million.
Are those separate islands that they just combined into two because the one country is just not big enough? Trinidad and Tobago. Stand by.
It's not Tobago.
It might be Tobago.
You say Tobago, I say
Tobago. You say Tobago, I say Tobago.
Guess couple what of million.
Guess what the population is.
1.5 million.
Two.
Oh, this is so annoying.
300,000.
I can't find it. Just
do to do.
Keep going.
Why don't you just search population of Trinidad?
Oh, I could have done that.
What did you do? Did you go to like a map?
I'm fumbling around Wikipedia here.
What is it? 1.4.
Yeah,
1.4. 1.4. I said 1.5. Well, how good a guess was that?
Excellent. You're smart. 1.5 million. And you have 330 million. And yet people call up and say, well, all of our good athletes go and play football. That's, don't you get, you don't understand what, you could put our 10th string out there. And we should be wiping the floor with the Tobagans. We should be absolutely emasculating them.
Toboggans.
We lost to them. Oh, the show is so stupid sometimes. No,
sometimes.
Submit that to the Marconi people.
How about like, all oh the time? God. No, there is a level of stupidity that is unmatched.
Oh. And with the talk of soccer today, let's take it back here to when you predicted a death. For a caller. When was this from?
This is great.
This is from 2014.
This is great.
Maybe the effect has grown in popularity, but to say when this event is over that there is going to be a rush for this sport.
Who said that?
I never said rush.
Can I ask you one question?
Don't put words in my mouth.
You said it was going to be bigger than the NHL in 12 years.
12.
Yeah, 12. That's been a long time.
12 years. I don't think you'll make it.
Well, that's a nice thing to say.
Okay, Jack, I'm sorry. Take it back. You pissed me off.
Jack in Rhode Island.
Yes, and I'm happy to report he's made it. He's still with us. Sorry, Jack.
12 years. I don't think you're going to make it.
That's my fault. Sounded older than he was. Even still.
That is great.
Not appropriate.
Well, we've all had our bad moments.
Yeah, it was a bad moment.
Not me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.